and welcome to another episode of On the Floor with Wayne and Rob. I'm Wayne Highlander, Director of Sales for Bone Adhesives.
I'm Rob Johnson from The Bone Training.
Rob, I missed you last week.
Oh, they only took pretty people.
Well, I don't know about that.
Bona only takes pretty people. Well, they left me and a couple of forklift drivers. Somebody had to keep this thing going.
Well, true. When we're talking about the National Wood Flooring Association Expo, and Rob didn't attend, I tell you what, there was so many people that asked about you, Rob. And
They were asking about my mental state or?
No, just, yeah. Where's Rob at? Is Rob here? Blah, blah, blah. So I told him you don't like to socialize a whole lot.
Yeah.
And then
you should just say, hey, it's really none of your business. He's upset about it.
Some guy said, asked what you really like. You know, yeah, I love Rob on the show. You know, what you really like. And I told him he's probably one of the best guys you'll ever meet in your life when he's not drinking.
Well, I do have that drinking alter ego of mine, Tony Clifton. So you might be right there.
Yeah. All right.
But Tony Clifton's a fun guy to be around.
Yeah. I've never been around you when you've been.
Tony Clifton?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been around you when you've been drinking at
Pauline
all.
Pauline hates Tony Clifton.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I've ever seen you drunk.
Well, neither one of us are big drinkers. But usually if I'm going to, it's at the NWFA Expo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because there's so many friends and people, colleagues to get together with. And Bona, man, did Bona have a party.
Really? I wouldn't know that. Yeah.
I'm sorry about this. I'll send
that's
you.
Okay. Remember
when people send you pictures at a function that you couldn't be at that you wanted to? Like a fishing trip you were going to go, but I just can't go. I got to work. So they send you picture after picture after picture of big fish. On Bourbon Street, Bona rented out a bar called the Tin Roof. You know, one of those bars on Bourbon Street, we have the balcony over top where you can look out, the wrought iron balcony, and they throw beads down and everything.
Yeah.
We rented out the restaurant and had one heck of a party, man. We had a great band downstairs, great jazz band, and just had phenomenal time. And man, it was so great to see customers come by and friends and colleagues, and you know I'll tell you what, even a couple of competitors that I've known over the years came by to say hi, and it was a lights out, just a phenomenal time. And I love New Orleans. I've said so many times before, it's just a great time. And I had to do a speech, so the first night was all business for me. I don't do nothing. I don't go out to eat. I don't go out to drink. I don't go out to talk with customers. So after that was done, I was able to have some fun. So,
you know, you say, it just reminded me of a story of our old life at our old company. We were doing, there was a convention in Vegas and we were at a bar. It's called Kahunaville. It was one of my favorite bars in the whole world. It was where the guys did the juggling the bottles, the bartender flair, you know.
Okay. Oh.
Just a fun place. And I see a couple of, now I got a whole tab going for like, I don't know, 20 people, you know. And I see a couple guys from our competitor drinking.
On your tab?
On my tab.
Hmm.
So I kind of noticed this, and I even mentioned it to the bartender. I go, you buying those guys drinks too? And he goes, yeah, you know, this whole thing. They're getting ready to leave now, right? It's not, they've been there maybe an hour, I don't know. So I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm not letting this happen, you know, no way.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk over to these guys. Now, meanwhile, the bartender had come over to talk to me about something, but I was so pissed, right, that I'm heading towards these guys.
Yeah.
And I was just about to say something, and the one guy goes, hey, man, thanks for letting us hang out. He goes, I just want you to know that I took care of the tab. He He took care of the whole thing.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Oh, holy smokes.
Oh my, I was this close to
Wow.
being the world's biggest ass.
Oh, man.
Because I was going over there like, I'm gonna pop this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh no. And then, he turns around and just levels me with that. And that's what the bartender wanted to say was, hey, the gentleman at the end of the bar picked up the first hour of your tab or whatever. And
Yeah.
I was like,
Wow.
oh my gosh.
That was, yeah, good thing you didn't say
So when you say something like you do see competitors,
anything.
it's still a family. You
Try
know what I
to,
mean? It's still a family.
I have to tell you a story then, and I'll try to make this quick, but man, did you remind me of a story in Las Vegas with I'm with another rep, and he's a manufacturer's rep for a company. Not related to anything we do. Okay. He doesn't sell. He sells products that Bona doesn't sell. So we're going to take this customer out together. So he comes up to me ahead of time. He goes, Wayne, I feel bad because they picked a really expensive restaurant and I don't have a lot of money to spend. I mean, they don't give us a lot of money to spend. Not that Bona gives us by any means unlimited. We got to be accountable too. But he goes, I just don't have that kind of money to spend and I don't know what to do. I said, you know what, man? I said, I'll split it with you and we'll do it together and what have you. He goes, okay. We go to the restaurant, I'm going, holy smokes. And our group got bigger and bigger. You know what I mean? Now there's like eight of us or nine of us. And I'm looking at the menu and man, it's very expensive. Now I'm thinking to myself, yeah, this is not good, but and they're ordering big. I mean, appetizers, the wine,
Giddy up, man. Giddy up.
and then and then but when the waiter comes around to me, I'm looking like, okay, you can always tell what I'm eating. It's always pork chops because pork chops is cheaper than steak and whatever, and I'm fine, whatever. And then he the other my man over there is damn near eating a salad. You know what I mean? And I see him sweat. Like he's sweating. You know what I mean? And he is uncomfortable, man. And everybody's got wine, he's got water. Like, dude, that's gonna bring the average down a little bit. It's not gonna help us that much. So we're then they're ordering desserts, and then somebody's wife orders an after dinner coffee, and they're like, oh man, this is gonna be so
It's Domino's. Everybody does it, right?
expensive. Yeah. So the bill comes. The distributor goes, guys, I got this. And I wanted to cry. I like, I could have had a good time. You know what I mean? And somebody said that with me and him looked at each other like, are you kidding me? We could have enjoyed this meal.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty funny. Anyhow, oh man, we had such a great time, Rob. I really missed you. I have a good time with you every time we get out anyhow, but a lot of people asked about you, as I said. I missed you. I know you got schools and everything. We got to tear you away at some point to go to the NWFA. But it does take attention away from me somewhat. You can understand that.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
Not a
that
big
way
deal.
the light shines a little brighter.
So I had to do a presentation.
I was gonna ask you, did you present anything?
I did. I present the chemistry of adhesives and fasteners with one of our competitors. Super good guy. I really liked him a lot. First time I met him. But when you tell me I have to do a presentation that lasts an hour, okay, and that I'm splitting the time with another guy, so really I'm going to have about a half hour to talk. That half hour of prep for me meant about it meant 3 weekends that I did nothing but study concrete and adhesive. Now I'm already pretty, I know a fair amount.
You
But
can
I've,
talk the talk. You can
yeah,
definitely. When it comes to that prize, you do have to bone up for 3 weekends on that.
well, you just want to be prepared in case you get someone asks you a question you don't know. So for 3 weekends, I bought another book on concrete. Cost me $120. Then I found out they pretty much give all the information away online for free.
Nice.
And I studied at night. And I studied early in the morning, and I studied on the airport on the way there, and And I practiced the presentation, and I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this. I know I practice it 70 times. So I don't like doing presentations, but I'm not going to show up unprepared. That's just, to me, that's the, you know, that's, you don't do that. So, it went great. I thought it went really, really good. As I said, the other guy was a gem. He's a gentleman, good guy. And, I thought, Chell, did the moderator, and he did a good job. So, but after that, I had a great time. After that, when that's over, then it was, New Orleans, and, pretty cool.
Did you go first or second?
He went first and he went last. So I went in the middle.
Mm-hmm. He went first and last, and you got the middle.
Yeah. So I know what you're thinking. Usually if you're doing a presentation, you want to be last. But
no. No, I was going to say exact opposite.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was at Surfaces one time, and they asked a bunch of us to do a presentation on staining floors and stains and everything. And I was going second. And the guy who went first took all of my stuff.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And the more I listened to him, the best thing I should have done, if you're not going to go first, walk away. Don't listen to the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I listened to everything he said, and I'm like, I said that, I'm going to say that. But think about it. We're talking about sanding and prepping a floor and staining and water popping and all that stuff, right? So, of course, you know, how many different ways are you going to say it? Mm-hmm. So then when it was my turn, I didn't want to get up there and mimic him and completely blew my presentation. Because I kept saying to myself, well, he already talked about how many, you know, what is there? 8 things that you can talk about when you're going to stain the floor?
9.
9? Okay. Yeah, exactly. And your 9 and my 9 are probably going to be pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So instead of getting up there and just doing my thing, I went totally off script so it didn't sound like, oh my gosh, biggest. That was definitely the biggest failure I ever had in my life. And there was like 350 people at this presentation. And I just was absolutely just completely stunk it out of the water. And my boss at the time, Mike Sundell, one of my best mentors ever, him and I are like backstage after it. And I'm just like breathing deep. You know when you screw.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you just
read
know
about it.
Yeah. 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 People. Yeah. You know, because you've read about it. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the new ownership of the company was there, and they're like, this is our guy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You not only did I stink, but, you know, ownership was like, really, this is our training manager, huh? And Sundell and I are backstage, and he goes, all right, so what happened? And I told him, and he goes, so what you learn from that? I don't know what I've learned. You got to tell me what I'm supposed to learn. He goes, just stick to your script. Yep. He goes, don't change a word. He goes, how many, you know, there aren't that many ways to stain a floor. Everybody's going to be talking about it. He said, so the next day, it was the same type of scenario, but we had to do recoding systems. Everybody was up there talking about their recoding systems. And I'll never forget, he comes up to me. And the other good thing is I was going first. And he goes, hey, I don't want to make it too nervous on you or anything. He goes, but your job probably lies in the balance on this next presentation. I'm like, okay, all right, I got it.
Wow.
He goes, I talked them into coming back. And I was thinking to myself, That could be a good thing or a bad thing, but I better make it a good thing. Or so, yeah, if I ever get the chance again, I definitely would like to go first.
It
But I
was
can
a
see what you're saying.
I want to, create the narrative at the end or whatever. I want to wrap it up in my way, and so, but anyhow, it worked out really good. And like I said, the guy, one of our competitors, is a really good guy, and I liked him a lot. It was good. First time I ever met him. Okay, there was a lot of symposiums there. There was a lot of educational opportunities there, and one of them was on. I thought this was really interesting. On issues at the top issues for inspectors to have, why they have claims. These are the in the order of what the claims that they had. And so I thought this was kind of very interesting. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, okay? 16 areas here. And number one, so if you're out there listening, the number one claim that inspectors get, I will give you a second to think of what you think it might be. And the answer to that, and it's by a pretty, by actually a really a big margin, almost double any other category next, and that is moisture claims. That's, here's the thing, man. All the technology that we have today, all the knowledge that we have today, all the tools that we have today, that moisture is far and away the number one reason for claims. And I think that's very interesting. And while I was there, there were several moisture meter manufacturers at the NWFA. And my feeling is like, why wouldn't we use them? We have this technology. They're some of the smartest guys out there. I mean, there's certain tools I don't leave home without. Certainly a track saw is one of those tools. I never leave home without an undercut jam saw, electric one. And top of that list is a moisture meter. So, and that is, number one by almost double the next thing in line. I think that's really very interesting in today with today, all today's the technology. So just keep that in mind. And we have shorter windows to do the jobs. We have labor issues and that kind of stuff. And so I think that really give people pause to consider the potential pitfalls out there.
Couldn't agree more. I am blown away with how many times I now use a moisture meter. Now you're talking moisture meter as far as your world, right? I'm shocked how important moisture meters are in the other side, in sanding. I mean, I'm constantly, especially now that we have Chroma, water-based coloration system. Because it's amazing how many calls I get, how many questions we get at school. How long does it take to dry? How long do you know what I mean? There's just too many variables. Air movement, heat, humidity, moisture content of the wood. Think about it all. I go, well, now with a moisture meter, we're just taking all the guesswork out of when a coat is dry, when water popping is dry, when the coat of the chroma is dry, top coats, gym floors, sealers, water-based paint. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And to have a moisture meter on your side, man, oh man, I've been trying to tell people too, it's not just gonna screw you. Sometimes you can, you won't have to wait till 4 o'clock in the afternoon to coat a floor because she was ready at one. And the moisture meter told you that.
And then I'll tell you something else that's great for with the moisture meter. I mean, really good for the moisture meter. Let's say you're jammed up on a job. Let's say you're supposed to start this job, and you need another week because you're on other jobs. Okay, you bring that moisture meter to the job, get out there in the floor. You put it on whatever setting, and you tell the homeowner, you know what? It's just a little too high. I just don't feel good about it. We need at least another week here with that heat on to buy you some extra time to get to that other job. A lot easier than saying, you know what, we're a little bit behind schedule on the other one. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All right.
Become a I tell everybody that. Become a master of weather. It can just help you out in the long, especially when you need to buy some time. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm saying even if the conditions are right.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You're smarter right. than the homeowner. They don't know, right. they don't realize.
I'm just going to go down this list now, and these are not in order. Actually, on the list, moisture claims came in at 32. Okay. The next on the list is installation related claims. 5. That's how many claims were because of installation related claims. And installation related claims can be all kinds of different things, right? All right. Next. Customer expectation claims. This was a really high one. This is tied for number two. It's a three-way tie for number two. And it falls under customer expectation claims. Now, what is that? I'll tell you what that tells me. That tells me if I'm a sales rep or if I have sales reps working for me, that we need to really sit down and talk about expectations and what to expect and not what to expect and why was there a miscommunication and did we oversell something? That's what that tells me, customer expectation claims. And how were their expectations not in line with what we were going to do? You feel me on that?
I feel you.
Okay. All right. Going down the list, number three.
You know, a lot of that customer expectations could have been taken care of in the beginning too.
No question.
Just keep the customer, just let them know what's going on every day. Every day, check in and let them know what's happening.
Yeah.
If you're checking in with them every day and then you need to buy a little time.
Yeah.
They're not at the end of the job thinking, oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now you can get in front of it.
So much easier on the front side to handle some of these things. To have another, mm-hmm. to your sales presentation, to add another few minutes to say, just want to explain, it's going to be loud. There is some dust involved. We do our best to contain that and go over what your procedures are, whatever for that. And this is how much time we need. This is the way it's going to look when it's done. You know what I mean? All those little things that, you know, a checklist of things that you can go over with your consumers. Next on the list, coming up at 14, is a pretty high up there, is finished claims.
Finished claims.
A lot of time, and they're one of the, as an inspector, I think one of the toughest things to answer. And used to, I don't know, man. If I ever have fault with inspectors, and I've always said I would not want to be part of an industry that didn't have standards. There's a reason we have inspectors in this trade, and a lot of them are very, very good at their job, and this, that, and the other. But probably when I've disagreed with inspectors the most was on finished claims, finished or sanding. And usually it's an inspector that's never sanded before or never finished before. I don't want to throw inspectors under the bus. That's the last thing I want to do. But it's been my personal experience that I've seen this. And probably finished claims, I can see where too dull or too shiny. If I look through here, I see a little bit of debris in the finish, just a little bit, whatever. You know what I mean? Probably those things fall under this category. And what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So I would imagine but that's pretty high up there, 14.
I'm surprised it's that high because if a homeowner's making claims about the finish, especially with an inspector, that means that the contractor's not trying to take care of the homeowner, you know? And in the old days, I was there. I had a lady tell me one time that we did a white floor, and I said, so what do you think? She says, I was staring at it, and she goes, I hate it. She hated it. She didn't like the color because her walls and ceilings were white. But at the time, I was just like, well, sorry. This is the color you picked. You owe me, $1,800 or whatever. Really, I was just focused on that rather than, now I look back at things like that and I go, how many referrals did I get from her? How many people did she trash me to? Now, don't get me
Not as much
wrong.
trash as in your
We've
finish.
both looked at jobs where the people were insane and, just were expecting way too much, but.
Well, I'm going to take the other side of that. You said this maybe the contractor's not coming back and dealing with things. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Sometimes maybe, but if you know you've done your job and it should pass standards and it's a 3,000 square foot job, there are times when you go put that next coat on, you know that it's going to be very hard to top what you already did. And it's liability every time you touch that floor, and you could actually do it, make it worse by putting another coat. Sometimes the more coats you put on, the more difficult it becomes to coat. So there are times when you do have to stand your ground, I think. Obviously you want to keep good customer relations, and yes, is it worth putting on another coat to make someone happy? Sometimes it is, but sometimes you have to stand by. If you think this is passable, should be very much passable, and you did a great job, I think you have to weigh that too. I think you owe it to yourself. And I know it's tougher now than when you and I did it because of
Oh my gosh, yeah,
the
absolutely.
Google ratings and stuff like that, which are so woefully unfair to our contractors at times. You could just get one star review because you didn't return a phone call, or you said you were too busy to do the job, or maybe someone has a vendetta and they have a bad day and their ego got involved. So I get all those things, but anyhow, that's a tough one.
That's a real tough one.
All right.
That's a real tough one because there are people that their expectations are way too high. So when we were talking before about setting the expectation, I used to tell everybody, I know this is going to sound horrible, but I used to tell everybody, hey, you might feel a little rough spot here or there. You might see a bump. You might see something. Don't worry about it. Don't I? I used to always tell people, whatever you do, don't buff anything, okay? It'll walk out. Like I said, you might find a little bit of here or there, but it's a site finish job. And I used to definitely set that expectation. Why I would think somebody would run down to Home Depot and rent a buffer and buff their floor after I left was beyond me. It just seemed like the right thing to say at the time, like, don't buff it. It'll all walk out, okay? This is site finish job, that kind of thing. But I used to set some kind of an expectation too.
Yeah. I think it's tougher now to do now than before. I think consumers are tougher. And I didn't used to, even a few years ago, I didn't think this was the case. But I'm starting to come around and think that I think they may be tougher today. Hard to believe they were so tough back in the day. But I
Really,
really.
we thought back in our day, we thought they were tough. They're nothing compared to
Yeah.
what's going on today.
Well, here's a reason why. Look at all these companies, Amazon or whoever, whatever you name them. You don't like it, send it back. No questions asked. We'll take it back. All these crazy warranties they put on that, and the consumer is now thinking, well, that works with everything. You don't
That's
like
how
it, send
everything
it
should
back.
work. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the craft. What people are doing, it's a craft. It's not unlike art. And so I don't know. All right, moving along. This is very interesting. Next one to me. Environmental claims. And I think this really, really hits home with us because we preach, and now we just come out with Chroma, which is a stain with very low VOCs, which used to be the killer in the system. We offer the GreenGuard Gold finishes and adhesives and stuff like that. So environmental concerns, that what that tells me is you have a selling opportunity right there. Is that this is a niche, or where you can tell people up front, you know what, there's a lot of products out there that have high VOCs and what have you, and Here's what we offer and here's why we offer it. And indoor air pollution is more of a concern than ever before, certainly with COVID, with everybody being in the house, locked in the house for long periods of time. We know that we breathe everything that house emits. So I think that's a good one, man. That actually shows me it's an opportunity.
That was one of the great boxes that I think Chrome is going to check too. That was like the final piece of that Green Guard Gold certified program. That was like the final piece
of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Next one falls under other. I don't know what the hell that means. And that could mean anything.
Other
could be any kind of.
When I saw other, I was thinking, all right, I know what other is. I pulled in their driveway, leak crap all over, backed into their garage door.
Yeah.
That's, oh my God. Yeah, that other should be 85.
Yeah. Okay. Next one, maintenance claims. Also, to me, falls under customer expectations a little bit too. Here's how you maintain your floor. One of the biggest reasons for early having to sand a floor before it's time or replace a floor before it's time is maintenance. It comes down to maintenance. And I think this is another great opportunity. I see opportunity there for money. And certainly when you're talking to your sales reps, it also tells me that let's make sure that everybody understands, because if it turns into a claim, that's just a pain in the butt for everybody. So the fact that maintenance is up there also. So the three biggies are so far, and this is the three biggies in the list: moisture claims 32, customer expectations 18, environmental claims 18, and now maintenance claims 18. Those are the four biggies. So be aware of that. And again, I think an opportunity to upsell with the environmental reasons. And I think for maintenance, opportunity for recoats, and certainly customer expectations, and talk to them how to maintain their floors properly.
All right. I'm glad that this came up. Now, maintenance claims. Don't overpromise. Okay? Don't overpromise what a finish can do. Because while you were whining and dying, hooping it up, and having a blast with most everybody in the world down at the NWFA convention, I had to hit the phones. And I had a guy call me extremely upset with his floors. He has a 90-pound dog, and the dog is leaving some scratches on his floor. And he said, and I read someplace that traffic said that it won't scratch. And I said, you did not. And he goes, in the contractor told me this is the best finish, it won't scratch. And I'm like, a 90 pound active dog is gonna scratch concrete. And this guy was livid, beside himself. And I said, nowhere did you read in a Bona website that we will stand up to dog scratches. And you know, oh my gosh, did I get into it with this guy. And when I ever said that a 90-pound dog will scratch concrete, he was just livid. No, I'm like, it would. Of course he would.
Yeah.
And this kind of runs under, yeah, you're using the best product out there, but don't oversell it, okay? And I think sometimes when I say oversell too, it's like you're telling the homeowner that this stuff is so great, you're not going to have to clean up the grit. You're not going to have to do any maintenance to it. You got to stress the maintenance part of this to keep yourself, you know, from going back on a maintenance claim, because too many people oversell and do not stress on the maintenance of the finish. You and I both know you take care of the finish. You keep the grit off of the floor. That floor is going to last forever.
Okay. I've been in this house 11 years now. That's traffic on this floor, traffic HD. It's like the day we just put it down. Now, yes, I have just me and Judy. We don't have kids, but we have a dull dog with us now, and we have four or five cats. And depending on any given time of day or year, whoever wants to drop another one off at our house. And it looks phenomenal. So, and all you have to do with dog scratches is Google dog scratches on hardwood floors, and there's a million articles are going to come up about it. And no manufacturer would claim that they'll hold up to dog scratches with a finish. So, okay.
Oh, this guy said that. Oh no, I read it on the, and I said you weren't on the Bona website. I go, there's a lot of people out there that, put whatever online, and you cannot believe everything that you're reading. And boy, oh boy. And he was, of course, another guy who's like, I want to talk to your boss. And I said, well, I am the boss.
You should have said, hold on, let me put you online too. Hello, Rob Johnson's boss. All right.
Should have just went and got Pauline. Here's my
There
boss.
you
Go ahead. Tell her.
go. Very high up on the list. The next one is very high up on the list, and that's milling claims. So there you go on that one. Although I'm
You
going to say
seeing
right now.
more of those or less? I think we're seeing less.
Well, here, this is interesting. I'm just going to jump right to it. On the list, domestic wood claims came up as zero. So I thought that was interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but milling claims, it is what it is. There's 14 of them. So, I'll tell you what, with milling claims, another good reason for doing nail glue assist can stop a lot of sins. So, okay. Well, speaking of the devil. Adhesive claims must not have used Bona R851 or Bona Quantum Flow.
Oh, look at how low that is, though.
Yeah,
that's
five.
one of the lowest ones.
Yep, it's tied for one of the lowest ones. So adhesive claims. Adhesive today is incredible to years past. So anyhow, imported flooring claims also came up as number five. So,
Man, I would have just because of bamboo, I would have thought that would have been crazy.
yeah. Subfloor related claims, nine, pretty high on this list. So, we've talked about this before. Moisture and subfloor related claims are both two of the biggest that are out there. And closely tied to that. Being number nine as well as noisy floor claims. So
There you
again,
go.
you got moisture and you got noisy floors. It's a great reason for the Bona R540 moisture barrier and the sausages or glue assist. But anyhow, number
How many
nine.
times have you been talking about those snapping, crackling floors?
Yeah.
I mean, you've talked about that a bunch of times. So there it
Well,
is, right there.
just
That's
gonna
one of the higher ones.
I'll touch on this real quick. We've gone to wider boards. The wider the board, the less fasteners we're able to put per square foot. Also, it's a long way across that board only to rely on the fasteners on one side and the engagement of the tongue and groove on the other side. So any lateral movement at all is vulnerable to squeaking and popping. Okay. Couple that with we've gone to thinner floors that the tongue may not be as robust to hold the cleats or staples as the old three-quarter T&G with 16 gauge cleats or staples, right? And we've gone to thinner gauge staples and cleats for those products, so it may not be able to hold the floor as well as we would like. I think some subfloors are suspect material, and in many cases we've gone to wider joists. We're not 16 inches on center anymore. All recipe for noisy, popping, squeaking floors. So, all right. And actually, by the way, that's when you're bidding your job. To charge for it and put it in there and explain exactly what you're doing. Not to mention it's an NWFA guideline now. So good stuff. All right. Sales specification related claims. I can imagine where the guy was supposed to stagger the joints so much according to the pre-finished flooring I have, and he didn't do that, or he used the wrong trowel, or those type of claims. Which would, follow directions type of deal. I even myself, when I did floors, I worked with a product that I hadn't worked before. Even if I know, I always read the instructions anyhow, just to see what they have to say about it. There may be some little trick there, some little thing there that they want that somebody else doesn't want. Even if I think it's unreasonable, I would always just go through and just check the guidelines. Okay. Insects.
I was shocked how high that was.
That's number five. There's five of those, and I was surprised too. But I can tell you, my brothers last year had one. The clients bought their wood from a big box store on a really, really high end house. I mean, millions, probably a $5 million house minimum. And powder post beetles. They got a call several months after the job was done. You know, what is this? What is that? And never showed themselves until after the job was done. And the big box stores want to take care of it. But can you imagine what that's going to cost? So insects. Be careful buying antique furniture. Sometimes it comes in, they come in via antique furniture, which my wife loves.
So I know the turnout at NWFA for our Chroma demo was huge. How was the overall turnout?
I believe they said it was the best turnout they've had in decades, like two decades.
Wow.
Yes. High on my list was going to a crawfish boil. When I moved to the South, there's like two things on that list that I really, really wanted to do that are Southern. One was go to Kentucky Derby. I did that with, I got that off my bucket list with a dear friend of mine, Jeff Rose, rest in peace, God bless him. And going to a crawfish boil. And I got to go to two of them. Rondell Floors were kind enough to invite me to one, and it was epic. And Willie Short had one at his house with his family. And again, just can't describe how good they both were. And Jambalaya. And I learned that there's another one, Pastellini or Pastalaya or something. One is in with rice and one is with pasta. And I got to experience both of those. And man, Rob, like I said, if I had two lives, I'd like to relive one of them over again in New Orleans.
Wow. And
there's something down there, man. There's something very special about that place. And I then I went to a concert. Friday, everybody was leaving. Most everybody was leaving. Most all the customers were gone. And since I didn't get to go out and see any music, I was working most of the time, taking people out and stuff. I looked up a local venue, and a couple of good bands were playing, so I went to watch them. So just an overall great experience, man.
Nice trip.
Yeah. I'll send you pictures.
Please do.
Okay.
My dad was going to a bowling alley convention one time, and it was down in Orlando. So my brothers and I heard, this was back when we were all in school, my brother and I heard that, wow, Orlando, huh? That's, you know, we had never been to Disney.
Yeah.
So we were kind of like, Are we going? And he's like, no, it's a work thing. You know, it's a convention. I go, yeah, but it's, you know, it's Orlando. And that was that.
Yeah.
So a few weeks later, the old man, we come home one day and the old man is setting up a slide projector. And he's going to show us pictures, right, of his trip.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there watching Disney pictures in and around Disney where this convention was. And I looked at one of the pictures. I go, hey, look at that. That kid looks just like Jeffrey, our cousin.
Oh, wow.
And my dad goes, that is Jeffrey. So we're like, even my mother is like, what? He says, oh yeah, Fred took the kids. So we're all just like, I mean, we are just stunned. Looks at everybody and he goes, what's the big deal? He goes, I didn't think you guys are too old for Disney.
Oh man.
Because I didn't think you'd want to go. You're all too old for Disney. Meanwhile, I think my youngest brother at the time was like second grade. I'm like, I don't think we've aged out of Disney yet. I think there's enough there for everybody. But to watch pictures of my cousins at Disney
Wow.
while we were back home. So yeah, definitely, if you want to
Yeah.
You wanna you can see what already you said by, you know, hey, I'll send you pictures of the great time that we had. Don't worry, but I've already been there. You can't hurt
Listen.
You can't hurt this anymore.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
You can't
well,
hurt this.
Well, okay, well, if this makes you feel any better. Here's the fun part of growing up with an alcoholic father. We're living in England, right? You know, you ever heard of Stonehenge?
Yeah.
Everybody's heard of Stonehenge, right?
Sure.
We live not too far from, we drove past it. You could see it like a mile away in the distance, 2 miles, and we didn't even downshift. We lived by some of the greatest museums in England. Never saw one of them. Never went to any of them. We lived in Germany where we lived, you know, Garmisch, the all the culture, all the beautiful Banff, or not Banff, but Garmisch, all those places. We saw nada. Yeah. We saw the inside of a military base is all we saw. Everywhere we live.
He goes past Stonehenge doing 70.
Pretty much.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's, hey,
look there's.
Quick. There it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you saw it. Yeah. So I feel you, brother. Okay.
Different times, man. Different times.
Amen. All right. What else we got, Rob? I think that should wrap it up.
I think so.
I just want to make one last point. I know a lot of contractors couldn't go to because they had work. My brothers, you know, we had big plans that they're going to come down there and meet me there, but they got busy and had to take jobs and they couldn't make it either. And I'm kidding with you, Rob, but I know a lot of guys would have loved to go, and just the things I you know, it just sometimes it doesn't work out. You get too busy to go. I totally get that. I want to say that I saw so many people that good contractors and friends and clients and customers and stuff, that it really warms your heart to get a chance to see everybody. It's a blur. You never, like Willie Schumacher won floor of the year. We should talk about those later on. He won floor of the year, and I want to congratulate him. I barely had time to see him. And so, I mean, so many of these people I wanted to spend time with, I didn't get to. And this is always the downside of getting run in a thousand different directions. And so hats off to the NWFA. Congratulations. Two members were inducted into the Hall of Fame. Why is it escaping me now? John Roy with Trinity. What a legacy. I think the only first guy that father and son were inducted to. His father was also one of the first inductees into the Hall of Fame. You talk about a guy that is just a stand-up class guy who's given a lot to this industry and a super good guy and a great, great, great spokesman for our industry. Chris Zizza, congratulations. Also inducted into the Hall of Fame. He's done so much with the NWFA, and they have a podcast, and he's done so much with charities and stuff, and super successful contractor. So hats off to those guys. And all the Floor of the Year winners, loved it. The NWFA did a great job recreating or semi-recreating one of the guys that won, and they talked about that. Very cool. So there you go, Rob. That's all I got. That's all you got. Get better. I know you're coughing and struggling. I appreciate you making it, even though you're not feeling good. And I'm on vacation today. This is my first day of my vacation.
So hey, that's a way to kick your vacation off.
I'll be working all day. That's just the way it is. You know how it goes, brother. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for our listeners for listening. We super really appreciate it. I've never said super really before. I sounded kind of a little like a 12-year-old kid by just saying that. But we do appreciate it. And please stay tuned for another episode. It's been another episode of On the Floor with Wayne and Rob. I got that backwards, but you get the drill. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.